Southeast Alaska 2C saw a bump in the quota this past season after many years of big cuts, and it still appears to be on the upswing from what I'm hearing from you guys. And maybe can you elaborate a bit on the 2C stocks in terms of, I guess, relative to the rest of the coastwide catches?
Yeah, sure, Matt. I think that, you know, you're right that we have seen some improvements in area 2C, and we don't have the results for this year's survey and stuff incorporated in the assessment yet, but we have seen a fairly positive trend over the last couple of years, which is kind of what we hope would have been happening, because there's been some pretty significant drops in the catch limits in this area, and we had hoped that this would be the kind of response we would find to that. But Ian, you might want to talk a little bit more about the stock status on it.
Yeah, as Bruce said, we're seeing a fairly strong response in the survey catch rates, which is corroborated with the fishery logbook information that we're getting from the directed fishery. And we're also starting to see a little bit of response in size at age as well, which is quite different here in Area 2C than we're seeing up in the Gulf and farther west.
One concern I know you've heard a lot about from Southeast fishermen and is that the commission's allowed Canada Area 2B to take significantly more poundage in recent years than you and your staff had recommended. For instance, this past year, you recommended, I believe, 4.5 million pounds for 2B, and the commission went with over 7 million, closer to what they had been catching. Correct me if I got those numbers wrong, but can you address that issue, and what is the discrepancy there in terms of 2C, they do go with the recommendations down?
Well, I think you need to appreciate the fact that it's a different format for how we're presenting the information now, Matt. We used to do that exactly what you said. The commission staff would produce one set of numbers, and we would say, here's what we think should be taken from the stock, and the commissioners might change those numbers slightly amongst the areas. This year, we went to a totally different framework for presenting the information at the request of the commission and generally at sort of the best practices for fisheries management organizations, where we put together a whole series of potential yields from the stock and the benefits and the risks that are associated with taking those yields. So when you say that the staff were recommended a number, that whole table was what the staff's recommendations was this year. So there was a whole range of potential yields, and then the commissioners made a choice based on some understanding of what the risks associated with those things were to various things like changes in the future with either catches or with the spawning biomass.
Was it riskier to go with the higher number than the I guess what you'd call the blue line recommendation, the kind of middle point?
Yeah, there? Well, I mean, as I say, everything in the table was a recommendation from the staff, if you will. But yes, there was the decision that was made carried with it a higher percentage of risk that the catch limits would go down in 2014 than at a lower level of catch.
In terms of your ability to manage the stocks, when you are, as some fishermen I think would feel like the decision is going more on the basis of politics as opposed to policy, I think is one of the comments someone mm-hmm. was making when you met with fishermen recently here. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, does that affect your ability to do the type of assessments you do every year?
I don't think so. I'm going to ask Ian to talk about that a bit, too, because, you know, there were some real characteristics of the decision table that are important for how the staff functions and how the process functions.
Yeah, the delineation between the science and the management decisions based on that science is really important. And What my job is to describe what's going on in the stock and what the effect of the removals that have been taken. So in that regard, it doesn't, as long as we can track those removals and continue to collect biological information from the survey and the fishery, the actual level of removals isn't affecting the quality of the science. We can still provide the same quality of science next year. It's my job to produce the information about the relative risks associated with different catch levels, and to make sure that the people making the decisions have that information available to them when they're making those decisions.
Another concern we've heard from fishermen in Petersburg, and I think in other parts of the region, is the coastwide, some frustration with the coastwide assessment versus assessments for individual areas, as you once did and have been doing coastwide for quite a while now, mm-hmm. I think. But the concern being that, you know, it would take, you'd have to, the whole fishery, I think as one fisherman put it, they're worried the whole fishery would have to collapse before you could close a whole area if that area was not performing up to a certain threshold. But as I understood from what you explained, there isn't really a threshold at this point to have or not have a fishery in a certain area.
That's correct, Matt. When we look at things, what we call the reference points for management, so that's whether there are two reference points we use, 30% of the estimate of unfished biomass and 20%, and the 30% is called the threshold and the lower limit, the lower value is called the limit. And what we're trying to do is, when we get to the threshold, we institute, under the existing harvest policy, we institute more stringent control measures on it. And if we got to the, if we ever got to the limit, we would actually shut the fishery down. But the difficulty that we're facing on this, and this is something that we outlined when we brought in the coastwide assessment in 2007, is that that happens at the coastwide level. Where people, of course, respond to things is at the individual regulatory area where they're fishing. And we don't have reference points for those individual regulatory areas, so we depend a lot on the ability to collect good information in those areas and incorporate that in the coastwide assessment, but also from the surveys in those individual areas and the fishery statistics in those areas, we try to census what's going on in those areas. But it has been a point of frustration for us as well, because we've gone away from something that we thought for a while was working, but obviously because of the migration of the fish, we can't deal with the closed area assessments or an assessment for each individual area that we had before. So we're trying to get closer to that thing to avoid the kind of problem that was raised last night, where he said if you have an individual area that goes down, it somewhat is subsumed in the understanding of the coastwide biomass. So Ian has some ideas that he might want to look at this year and over the next couple of years about how to look at the data differently. And could ask him to look at that.
There's no question it would be great if halibut would just stay in one area.
Right, that's the other issue.
It would make things far simpler for everybody to conduct the science, to do the management. That would be far simpler. The biological reality is they don't. They move between areas. And so we have to account for that. And what we found is that historically, the closed area models just weren't able to capture the dynamics that were going on in the stock. So we've moved to a coastwide model, but there are other ways to look at the stock. And we're in the process of building some more complex models that actually take into account migration between areas. And these models may not produce management advice on a year-to-year basis, but they'll help us to understand the dynamics and the linkage between the different areas, and that will help to drive future revisions to the harvest policy, which may be able to account for the level of biomass in each area as well.